Bibles in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. The word of God says, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased.'" Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matta, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Canaan, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Matta, the son of Mattathias, the son of Semin, the son of Josek, the son of Hoda, the son of Honan, the son of Reza, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Salatiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosan, the son of Elmadan, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Korim, the son of Matta, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonah, the son of Eliakim, the son of Melah, the son of Mena, the son of Matata, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Sala, the son of Nason, the son of Aminadab, the son of Adim, the son of Arni, the son of Ezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Teruh, the son of Rehu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eva, the son of Sela, the son of Cainan, the son of Arsaphat, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Cainan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Let's pray. Father, I ask you that you may speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Please, Father, the same Holy Spirit that was active in the creation of the world, the same Holy Spirit that was active in the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, may be living and active through your word tonight, Lord. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. This is going to be a short message, about 10 to 15 minutes, and I want just to convey a point. This passage is the beginning of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth. The baptism of Jesus Christ marks the start of the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was about of 30 years. And there is something quite particular here, because Luke places the genealogy of Christ right after his baptism, but right before his temptation in the desert. And I think there is a very theological element here, quite important for us today. And I want to focus my attention on this. First, I'm going to start with the baptism, then with the genealogy. We see the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry. The ministry of the kingdom of God. That marks the beginning of the kingdom of God coming to earth, which was fulfilled partially in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be fully fulfilled when he comes back again to this earth. But this point marks the recreation of the is the reverse of what happened in the fall in the Garden of Eden. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is starting a ministry which will put an end to that sin that began in Eden. So let's go back to what happened in Eden. But let's go back to that. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we are telling the scripture in Genesis 1:3 that the Holy Spirit was moving upon the face of the waters. Literally, the Holy Spirit was moving. Some people think like moving like a dove, moving his wings upon the waters, creating everything out of nowhere, putting order out of disorder. From Genesis 1:3, the rabbis identify the work of the Holy Spirit in relationship to creation as a dove moving his wings upon the water. And this picture of a dove moving his wings upon the water is associated to creation. You remember when Noah went out from the ark? Do you remember what he let free from the ark? What was that? A dove moving his wings upon the waters in this recreation after the flood. And we have here the same picture of Genesis 1. The Son coming out from the water, the Father is speaking, and the Holy Spirit come upon the Son on the waters. And this was the point of the start of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the inauguration of the kingdom of God in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a very important point. And then immediately after that, Luke starts speaking about the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord Jesus come from. And he eventually reaches the point that the Lord Jesus Christ come from Adam. He is the son of Adam, the son of God. He goes back to the original creation in Adam, something different than the genealogy of Matthew, because the genealogy in Matthew goes back to Abraham, but the genealogy of Luke goes back to Adam, to the point of the original creation, back in the Garden of Eden. And then Adam, when he was created, immediately after he was created, he faced a temptation in the garden. What happened to the Lord Jesus Christ after he was baptized? He faced a temptation in the desert. In the same way that the people of Israel faced a temptation in the desert. And Luke, I don't have time to explain the whole point here because I said 10 minutes and I have already taken 6. But Luke, in chapters 3 and 4, of his gospel, wants to portray Jesus as the second and true Adam, and as the second and true Israel. Luke wants to point out that exactly where Adam fall in the Garden of Eden, that's exactly where Jesus conquer. There, where the people of Israel fall in the desert, that's exactly where Jesus Christ conquered in the desert. And the three temptations in Luke follow a chronological order of the temptations of the people of Israel that they suffer in the desert. And if you look at the order of the temptations in Luke and you see the parallel passage in Matthew, you will say that the order of the temptations is different, because the theological purpose of Luke and Matthew is different. Because Luke, what specifically wants to portray as Jesus, as the true Israel, who is defeating the devil and the temptation which the people of Israel failed to do in the desert. the people of Israel fail in the desert, but Jesus Christ overcome in the desert and defeat the devil. So this was just my introduction to the passage. Now, what do we learn about this? I think, brothers and sisters, the way we think about tomorrow changes completely what we think about today. Think about this for a second. The way you think about tomorrow changes completely the way you live your life today. Probably the second book most popular in the history of Christianity after the Bible is a book called Pilgrim Progress. Pilgrim Progress is one of my favorite books. Actually, it's quite hard not to read Pilgrim Progress without actually, every time I get to that point when Christian is going through the river and about to enter the city, I just cannot avoid just a couple of drops, you know, from my eyes. It's just so moving, you know, because that's going to happen. But not many people know that actually that book was written under the reign of Charles II in what is called in English history, the restoration of the monarchy. And John Bunyan was actually in prison in the Tower of London. And there he was writing Pilgrim Progress. And they record an interview to John Bunyan. They say, "What do you do usually every day, Mr. Bunyan?" Then Bunyan answered, "Well, I wake up, I do my devotional, and then I just spend time with the Lord, then I go to do some visitation, blah, 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 and then I finish my day." "What would you do, Mr. Bunyan, if today was your last day? What would you do different?" And Bunyan answered, "Well, I would wake up, do my devotional, spend time with the Lord. I will then go to do some visitation, blah, 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 blah." And he described exactly what he did every day. And then people ask, "Mr. Bunyan, but that was your last day of your time on earth. And you will be doing the same of what you have been doing every day?" And then Bunyan answers, "I don't have to do any different because I'm ready to go with the Lord. And what I do today, I have no regrets, the thing I did yesterday and the thing I will do tomorrow." Bunyan was living with such a conviction that in the moment he closes his eyes on earth, the next thing he was going to see is the Lord. In the moment he closes his eyes on earth, like that, he will open his eyes again, and this time will be the face of Jesus looking at him. And I think that conception about the future, that image about the future that was absolutely secure and absolutely to come, what was changed the way that Bunyan live on this earth. And it's the same for us Christians. What we think about the future changes completely the way we behave today. And how is this related to this passage and to us today? It has everything to do with this passage. Why did Luke put the genealogy after the baptism of Jesus and before the temptation? Now, let me ask you a question. What was the last book in the Old Testament? What is the last book in the Old Testament? Now think for a second, think for a moment your answer. Yeah. You say Chronicles. Now, the order, I'm not talking about the number of the book, the order of the books that we have now, it was basically based on a translation made in the 4th century called the Latin Vulgate. The Latin Vulgate, based on another translation, a Greek translation called the Septuagint, rearranged the order of the book of the Old Testament. But when the Lord Jesus was on earth and the apostles, the order of the books was different. And the last book in the Hebrew Bible is actually the book of Chronicles. Now, think for a second. If you're familiar with the book of Chronicles, what is something, if you got the reading plan and you get to Chronicles, there is something that you always get stuck in. The genealogies. All the chronologies, isn't it, in the book of Chronicles. And the chronology goes back to Adam, Abraham, and David. And that's the end of the Old Testament canon. With that book, with that chronology. And what is the point of Chronicles? They were looking at the future. And by faith, they were looking at the Son of the Women. One day is going to come the Son of Eve, the Son of the Women, that was promised in Genesis 3:15. That Son of the Women who was going to crush the head of the serpent and destroy the works of the evil and restore the creation. They were looking at the future to that person, the Son of the Women. So it was very important that this person may be the Son of the Women. But then they were looking also to this person who have to be the Son of Abraham, the one by which whom all the nations will be blessed, the one who will pay with his own life in order to fulfill the covenant that God made with himself in Genesis chapter 15. God made a covenant with Abraham, but instead of Abraham promising, it was God himself who promised to fulfill the requirements of the covenant, meaning even to die, if that was possible, that God to die in Genesis 15. They were waiting for this promised Son of Abraham by with whom all the nations will be blessed. They were waiting for the Son of David, the servant of God, the Messiah, who will restore the kingdom of God. And they were in the whole Old Testament looking at the future. And that shaped the way they lived the present. And that's the end of the canon of the Old Testament. Now, how the canon of the New Testament starts? This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And goes back to the point where Chronicle finished. And it's a perfect bridge and transition that Luke takes and Matthew takes. Their point together is this is the Son of the Women who has finished the work of the serpent. This is the Son of Abraham who is going to bring the gospel and the blessings to all nations. This is the Son of David who is going to restore the kingdom of Israel. This is the true prophet like Moses who is going to speak the word of God. This is the true Melchizedek who is going to intercede for us as we were talking this morning. This is the true man, Jesus Christ. And here we are now living in the inauguration of the kingdom of God. And looking at the past, what he did in the past changes completely the way we live today. And then we look at the future, his coming, and that changes completely the way we live today. So Christians, I want to encourage you today, the kingdom has come. And although it may seem very difficult in this moment, although maybe wars, famines, immigration, collapse of governments, the situation of the UK and Christianity may think that it's reducing. Just stop for a second and look up. look up and try to see the history from beginning to the end. And look up. And then look back. And then look at the future. And then take courage for today. We can sacrifice today because He lived. We will live tomorrow. We can die today because He died for us. We will live tomorrow. We can live the Christian life with hope in the middle of a valley of tears because He has cried for me and I will live tomorrow. I have hope today because of Him. He has defeated sin, death, and the devil. And that is my motivation, to serve Him, to love the people of God, and to do missions today. So take courage. The kingdom of God has appeared. We are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Adam, the son of the woman, the true Israel, the son of Abraham, the son of David. Oh Lord, how precious is Your word, that it connects perfectly the Lord Jesus Christ with every promise of the Old Testament. And Lord, we are so, so sinful and so, so selfish. Please, Father, have mercy upon us. Help us to see the beauty of Jesus. Please, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, help us to see Jesus Christ beautiful. Help us to see His gospel, His death on the cross. And help us to worship Him. Marvelous, the Son of God. And help us to look forward to His coming in this short life, Father. Thank You very much for Him. In Jesus' name we ask You. Amen.